Revanchism, from the French revanche or revenge, is the will to reverse territorial losses following war or social movement. The dismantling of the Soviet Union, to cite one example, has led to a Putinesque policy of irredentism, the reclamation of territory once within the Soviet orbit. In a strange way, revanchism has become the 21st century foreign policy perspective. Palestinians believe the land captured in the 1967 war against Israel is occupied territory, hence territory belonging to the Palestinians. Chinese government officials agree Siberia is a province of China, a territory the Chinese once controlled. Persians believe the Tigris-Euphrates valleys are within their empire, notwithstanding the states with a present claim on the territory. Revanchism occupies claims around the globe as steadfast statism retreats before disruptive politics. As a term, revanchism originated in the 1870s in the aftermath of the Franco-Prussian War among nationalists who wanted to avenge the French defeat and reclaim the lost territories of Alsace-Lorraine. The movement draws its strength from patriotic and redistribution of thought. It is inextricably linked to irredentism, the conception that a part of the cultural and ethnic nation remains unredeemed outside the borders of the nation state. Russian strategy relies on military intimidation and non-military means such as the manipulation of perspectives. To offset these strategies, the West requires a united front and the means to counter revanchist efforts through the variety of penalties. The questions that always remain are what is fair and what is legitimate. Is it legitimate for Mexico to claim rights to the southwestern states? Is it fair for Russia to say the sale of Alaska was inappropriate? When do the claims of revanchism end? Does history have limits, or are the boundaries determined by the relative strength and power of the claimant? Recently, the Hague International Court ruled the Philippine claim of the Spratly Islands was legitimate. The Chinese government, however, chose to ignore the judgment. History is replete with examples where false claims were made backed by powerful armies. Japan invaded Manchuria prior to World War II, arguing that it was once a Japanese province and should be united with Japan again. Absurd on its face, this claim was recognized until Japan was ultimately defeated in the war. China, based on its ancient history, contends that the Middle Kingdom and all nearby Asian states are peripheral to the Middle Kingdom and subject to the expanding concentric circle of Chinese influence. Revanchism affects the law and is also hostage to extra-legal concerns. It is a plea for justice and a false justification for imperial aims. Unfortunately, global stability depends on the recommendations of competing interests. Where law is ignored, force prevails. If, for example, China decides to ignore decisions at The Hague, can one force China's hand? Is it productive to do so over a few rocky islands in the middle of the China Sea? But if action isn't taken, does that become a precedent in future controversies? Putin's portrayal of Russia besieged by implacable foes, opposed to its irredentist position, resonates with Russian memory and is popular domestically. Revanchism is a gift that keeps giving, since a Russia suffering from economic hazards from within has claimed glories from without. Moreover, a Russia willing to fight has a distinct psychological advantage over European states in the grip of appeasement. Overt invasions may be a condition of the past, but revanchism provides a pretext for military operations and saber-rattling, which can be justified as crisis management. Imperial Russia resides in the mindset of revanchist thinking, and the West had better get used to it.